Well, a few years ago, I found myself in my car. I was driving along the highway, and I looked down the road, and I saw this, well, this big billboard sign. And what shocked me was not so much what was on the billboard sign, but it looked fuzzy. I found myself as I was driving my car, and I wasn't speeding, but I was moving pretty fast, squinting my eyes, blinking my eyes, trying to figure out why I couldn't focus on this billboard sign. As I got closer, it did clear up a bit, but it was still fuzzy. And you see, I always had perfect eyesight. So I get home and I walk into the house. I look at my wife, Kim. I say, "Hey, Kim, I don't know what's going on." I tell her the story. I'm on the highway. I look down. I see this big billboard sign. It's blurry. And she quickly looked at me and laughed and said, "Haha, you're getting old and you need glasses." I looked at her. I'm like, no, I don't need glasses. I've always had great eyesight. And she's always had really bad eyesight. So she was reveling in the fact that, well, my eyesight was going bad. So she did not hesitate. And she called the eye doctor, got me an appointment as soon as they could fit me in. And she, with a happy heart, joined me for that eye appointment. We sat there that day, and the eye doctor came in, and he asked me what was going on. I tell him the story, and I'm sure that Kim offered other details to the story as well. And he started to take me through the battery of just eye tests to see what was going on with my eyes. Well, after he got done, and he went and got all the reports and came back in, he sat down, and I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for him to say to me, "Yeah, your eyesight's going bad. And you're getting older. It's what happens." So he sits down, and Kim's already, she just knows what he's going to say. I feel like, you know, it's like, I can't believe, like, this is that moment in my life. And, he opens his big folder, and, well, to my shock, he goes, "You have great eyesight." He goes, "In fact, I mean, you have better than 20/20 eyesight. You have 20/15 eyesight. Your issue isn't with your eyes." And it was just like, it was like that moment when your team wins the Super Bowl, right? Like, I was like, yeah! I looked at Kim, I'm like, see, I'm not getting old. I mean, I am getting old, but it's not because of my age and my eyesight. So the next logical question with the eye doctor was like, "Well, so what's going on?" He goes, "I think I know your issue." He goes, "Your eyesight is so good that as you are moving at the rate of speed that you're moving down the highway, your eyes were actually over-focusing on the sign. They were trying to focus past the sign." He goes, "It's just, your eyes are, well, they're just way too good. That's your issue." Well, I left that eye doctor appointment, and I was just, you know, my chest was puffed. I was like, yeah, I might be getting old, but my eyesight is still really good. Well, 2 months ago, I walked upstairs. I'd been studying and reading all morning, and I walked upstairs. Kim was working on her laptop, and I said to her, I said, "Honey, I'm struggling." I go, "Man, I think," and I remember pausing and saying, "I think I need reading glasses." With that same enthusiasm, she went and purchased me reading glasses. And she said, "See, I told you one day your eyesight was going to go. But now it feels different because, well, the first time I wore these, I realized how much I needed them." You see, I spent my life being able to see. I spent my life waking up in the morning not having to put contacts in or grab for my glasses. I spent my life, every time I grabbed something, well, something to read, being able to see it. And now I'm entering in where, guess what? For me to really be able to read, I now need help. And you see, there's a story in the Bible where, I always want to try to put myself, like personally put myself in the story. I think it's one of the most powerful ways to study the Bible is to say, what if I was there? What if I was experiencing exactly what that person was experiencing? What if I was actually going through what that person was actually living through? What if? Because I think it's in those moments where the Bible just starts to come alive. And there's this moment in the Gospel of John, John chapter 9. And Jesus and the disciples, his hand-picked team, they were making their way through the region. And well, John writes, and John was there. He writes, John chapter 9. As he went along, he, meaning Jesus, saw a man blind from birth. And again, just for this moment, think about that. Put yourself in this man's life. Blind from birth. Do this for me for a moment. Just wherever you are, unless you're driving. If you're driving, don't do this. But any other place. If you're sitting with people or sitting by yourself, just do this. For 15 seconds, close your eyes and imagine what it would be like to be blind from birth. I'm being serious. You ready? Count to three. Close your eyes. 15 seconds. When you hear my voice, open them again. 3, 2, 1, go. But blind from birth. Never being able to see a sunrise. Never being able to see the joy on a child's face. Never to be able to see that loved one when they're walking to you. Never. Never being able to see. And Jesus comes up to this man blind from birth. And his disciples, and again, this is in the Gospel of John. John was there. So John is one of the disciples who asked Jesus this question. And the disciples said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he is born blind? You see, in that day and age, in that culture, in the Jewish faith, they actually believed that, well, if you are born blind, or you're born with some type of physical ailment, that God actually was punishing the person for their sin, or God was punishing the person because their parents or their grandparents or their great-grandparents sinned. I mean, you go back into Exodus, and this is where they pull it from. In Exodus, there's this one verse that talks about the sins being passed through the generations. But what they miss, they focus on verse 7, but they miss verse 6 that talks about God's unending love. They grab onto one verse, but miss the epic storyline on the Bible on how far God will go to bring people back to them. But what they believed, the disciples believed this. This man born blind believed this. Every person around this man born blind believed that, well, he sinned, or his parents sinned, or his great-grandparents sinned, that someone sinned. And God punished this man, making him blind. Could you imagine the emotional toll that's taken on this man? The spiritual impact that's made on this man? But the disciples asked the question that, well, everyone surrounding this man was asking. Everyone thought about this man and what he thought himself. But what Jesus said shocked everyone. You see, Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. And you could feel the entire space, I mean, just go silent. You could feel the tension within this man's heart who was born blind going, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean no one sinned? You could tell the disciples who asked the question. I mean, they were expecting some other type of response, not that response. Everyone in the crowd was expecting a different response, not that response. But Jesus said, hey, You have to know that this man nor his parents have sinned. But this has happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus said, there's purpose attached to his blindness. Not sin, but purpose. Not sin, but God is going to do something through him and in him that's so much greater, that there's purpose attached to his blindness. And this is so important. Sometimes we don't understand God's purpose as we're going through what we're going through. I mean, this man, he had no idea. We don't know how old he was, but he was a grown adult. He had no idea that God's purpose was going to be shown through what he's had to live through, his blindness. But in that moment, everything started to change. You see, you have to understand, you might be going through something so difficult, something so painful, something so confusing, something that you just don't know the why to. But what you need to hold on to is that there just might be a purpose so much greater than anything you could ever fathom, that God wants to do something in you and through you as you're going through something so difficult. And in that moment, everything started to change for this man born blind, but not only for him, but for everyone who was connected to his story and for everyone who would be connected to his story. Well, John goes on telling this story in verse 4. He says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, Jesus said. Night is coming when no one can work. But while I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And Jesus, being the light of the world, illuminates anything that is dark. And think about the darkness that this man had always experienced. Think about this man still standing there, still listening to this man teach, this man named Jesus. And think about him when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And this man had never experienced what light looks like ever. Never. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then Jesus does something. Does something that again shocked everyone around. And this man couldn't see what Jesus was doing, but I think he could sense Jesus was doing something. I think he could hear Jesus doing something. And John tells us that Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, which is disgusting. I mean, again, put yourself in that moment. All of a sudden, Jesus spits in the ground, makes mud, grabs that mud, and wipes it on the man's eyes. Everyone had to be looking at each other going, what is happening here? And then Jesus told this man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And that word Siloam means sent, which in the moment, it's really cool because very specifically, Jesus told this blind man to go to the pool of Siloam. But notice, Jesus didn't say what would happen when he got there. Jesus didn't promise that he would be healed. Jesus didn't promise that he could be, that he could see again. Jesus didn't tell him anything except for go. And he had to make an extremely long walk, not a short distance, but he had to go in every step. And we don't know, maybe he had some friends that helped guide him through the city to get to the pool of Siloam. Maybe he just tried to get there by himself and he kind of asked people as he went there. But as he made his way a pretty lengthy distance, the whole time, he had no idea what the outcome was going to be. All he knew was Jesus said, go. And he went. He got to the pool of Siloam. He washed that mud off his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he could see. Think about opening your eyes for the very first time. But think about, well, this man born blind heard Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then this man washes the mud off and for the first time actually sees light. So what does this man do? This man goes home. He can now see. John tells us that his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging, because guess what he spent his life doing? Begging just to survive. They asked, they said, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was, but others said, no. He only looks like the man that was born blind, sitting and begging. Some of them couldn't even bring themselves to believe that this was the same man that they had seen year after year after year after year in their hometown. But he, the man born blind, insisted that he was the same guy. And so they asked him, they said, well, how then were your eyes opened? And this man said, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. And then they asked, where is this man? You see, when I think about this story, you see, there's several thoughts I just want to encourage you with. One is this. Remember, the greater than the physical healing of this man, I think about the spiritual healing. I think about this man's spiritual journey where he grew up thinking that he did something, his parents did something, his grandparents did something, that God caused this to happen because of sin. You see, it's easy to focus on the physical healing, and I think that was a massive piece of this. But the spiritual healing, when Jesus said, it's not about your sin. God has a purpose. That your blindness, what you've been going through, God is going to use in such a significant way, because everywhere this man went, he told his story that pointed to Jesus. You see, I also think about the walk. He went not knowing the outcome. He went not knowing he would be healed. He went not knowing what would happen when he washed. He went because Jesus said, go. And he walked by faith. So many times we want to know the end of the story. And what God really wants from us is for us to walk by faith. No matter what the ending might be, no matter how the ending is scripted, no matter the outcome of the walk of faith, what God wants to see is, will we walk even when we don't know the outcome? Will we walk even if we don't know the end of the story? Will we walk by faith because God says, go? And you see, this man went not knowing the end of the story, but having faith in Jesus, that when Jesus said go, he went. And the last thought is this, and I've already alluded to it. He shared his story. You have to understand, you have such an amazing story. It's your story. Just like it's the blind man's story. I don't have a story like the blind man. He has that story. But you have a story that's different than my story. And when we walk by faith, when we follow God's path, when we go even though we don't know the end of the story, when we realize that what we're going through, God can leverage for His purpose, and we share that story, God starts to use your story to change other people's stories. I think about the number of people's lives that were forever changed because this man realized that he was part of God's epic story. I think about some 2,000 years later, as we're approaching 2020, that his story is still encouraging, inspiring, convicting us to this day. So as we approach a new year, I want to encourage you. Maybe God has you going through something. And part of that journey, He just wants you to go through it. But walk by faith. I want to encourage you that maybe you don't understand exactly what God is doing, but trust in Him. Have faith in Him. Believe in Him. And guess what? Along the way, God's going to reveal Himself to you. And when He does, you should be telling that story. You should be telling people about what God is doing with you, what He did with you through that journey of faith, and how you have seen God work within you. Tell your story. Well, on January 1, we're kicking off a new year. And what we want to do is, well, we want to partner with you to encourage you on your life path, to encourage you on your spiritual journey. And so the entire team has come together, and we call it 20 for 20. We're going to have 20 days in the year of 2020 where we're going to have great psalms that are going to help encourage and inspire and reflect who God is on your journey. And so we just want you to know that we have worked hard to put that all together. You're going to be able to find that on our website, on our social media. And we have put that together to help your first 20 days of 2020 be your best 20 days so that you can have the best year ever. Remember that God is with you and God is for you. And because God is for you, no one can be against you. Let's have the best year ever. God bless.